Welcome to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
I am very thankful to God that He has given us yet another day where we can rejoice in His presence and where we can sit at His feet so that He can give us strength and power to face the day and to face the days to come. Today we are looking at God's presence is your ultimate protection in life. God's presence is your ultimate protection in life. Let us go before God together. Let Him help us as we begin the lesson. Our Father, thank You that we can come under the umbrella of Your holy presence. Thank You that You are Lord, You are God, and You are sovereign over every man and over everything in the entire world. Thank You that there is nowhere else that is safer than in Your very arms. Nothing can protect us better than Your own presence. So Lord, teach us today. Speak to Your children today. Empower us today. Draw us into Your arms today and help us enjoy our walk with You. We love You. We exalt You. Please help us as we go through this lesson. Speak to each one of us, for we have prayed this in Jesus' name. God's presence is your ultimate protection in life. Around the year 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, besieged Jerusalem. And he captured Jehoiakim, the king of Judah at that time. When he captured Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar ordered that a search should be carried out, and this search was to single out young people who were of royal descent or who came from royal families. So these were people who are very noble. These were young men who were to be without any physical blemish. One of the characteristics they had to have was they were to be handsome. They were to be skilled in all wisdom. They had to be intelligent and able to understand science. Generally, they had to have very high aptitude to learn with ease. So basically, Nebuchadnezzar captured all the handsome and future scholars who would determine and change the destiny of the lands. Among those who were taken captive were four young men who feared and revered God. These four young men were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are also called Belshazzar, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so for three straight years, the young men were taught, they were trained, and then they were allocated meals from the king's table. And the king assessed them at the end of their training. So they all were trained. They were finally brought before the king. It's the king who was to do the inspection to make sure that they had met every requirement with utter precision. And the king's record of what he assessed and his outcomes is preserved for us in Daniel chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. I would like us to read that together. Daniel chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all his realm. You know, the king did not understand one thing. If you look back in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 17, the king did not realize that to those 4 children, God had given knowledge, God had given skill in all learning and in all wisdom. And Daniel also had understanding in all visions and in dreams. So in their land of captivity, while they're in exile, Daniel and his 3 friends continued to excel. They prospered and they gained the favor of God right there in their land of captivity. So this angered the natives. It made them mad, made them angry, because they were not anywhere close to being a match to the children of God. And since Nebuchadnezzar was a heathen, he did not fear God. He erected a golden image. The Bible records that the height of this golden statue was about 90 feet tall. And when he erected this statue, Nebuchadnezzar gathered all the nobles, the rulers, and the people of the land so that he would inaugurate and he would have them worship this statue. It was decreed that everyone who did not fall down to worship that image would be thrown into a fiery furnace. But you know, you look back and you're like, how could the Hebrew boys who had served the true and the living God bow down to an image that neither had sense nor even the ability to hear, to see, any ability of any kind? Had their forefathers not engraved in them the wonders of God to cement their trust? Would they really bow? Did they not know? Did they not hear of that outstretched hand that had delivered them out of Egypt and even led them through the wilderness? Did they not know of the record of how the multitudes had been delivered, how they had walked through the wilderness, and even those who had sinned against Yahweh also, how the multitudes who sinned were killed and they had died in the wilderness? So how could they forsake God? It is God who had favored them. It is God who had made them noble. It is God who had given them this knowledge, this wisdom, this understanding that they could excel even in their learning. You know, it is very rare to find a captive being treated as a royalty. It is hard to find somebody who has been captured, elevated, praised, recognized, and treated with a lot of honor. But here they were in a foreign land and God had favored them. So as Nebuchadnezzar put up this statue, with what tenacity would these Hebrew boys face God at the end of the day? The Hebrew boys did not bow to that statue. And when they failed to bow, the king could not hide his fury over those young men. They could not exchange God's presence and favor for the idols of Nebuchadnezzar, and this made him very angry. So he commanded that the furnace be made 7 times hotter. And then the mighty men in his own army were ordered to bind and to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that blazing furnace. And these young men were still dressed in their official regalia of the day. And so with haste, the 3 boys were hurled into the sweltering heat of the furnace. You can imagine what happened. So with a lot of delight, the king, together with all those who hated and who envied the Hebrew children, must have stepped back to watch with delight how the end was going to be for those boys. But within a very brief moment, their hearts were filled with holy fear, with horror and terror. I want you to look at the powerful narration that God gives us in His Word as you witness God's presence at work. Let us read it together as it is recorded for us in Daniel chapter 3, verse 22 to 25. The Bible says, "Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no heart, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. This is the heathen, the man, the king, the powerful man of the times, who did not fear God, recognizing that I see a fourth man in the fire, and he looks like the Son of God. So Nebuchadnezzar ran, and he called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the furnace. And the Bible records that the fire had not touched them. Their bodies, their hair, and even their clothes were totally intact, unharmed. They did not even bear the smoke of the fire. But then we ask ourselves, how could that fire, the fire that annihilated the men of valor that threw the Hebrew boys into the furnace, spare its targets? What made the difference? It was the presence of God. It is the presence of God that will ensure your protection in the world today. God's presence is your safest, it is your greatest safeguard in danger. You know, the malice of the Babylonians was not over, even after they had thrown those three Hebrew boys into the fire. Some government officials also schemed for an occasion to exterminate Daniel, who was not present at that time during the idol induction ceremony. So he was not thrown into the fiery furnace. Daniel was a faithful man, and he lived above reproach. So the officials had to work very hard at finding any reason to accuse a man who feared God so much and one who reverenced God. So the only way they were going to find Daniel guilty was to involve matters to do with his God. And so they went for it. Daniel's co-workers, those who envied him, those who were jealous, they convinced King Darius to establish, to sign, and then to enforce a decree prohibiting prayer in the land for 30 days. So they formulated this decree so that anybody who was found violating it would be thrown into the den of lions. But for Daniel, God was all he had. In fact, he was everything. Without God, there was no nobility. Without God, there was no knowledge. There was no wisdom. There was no excellence in academics. Even his own position was God-given. He was right there in Babylon, in a foreign land, to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He had been put there specifically for that reason at a time in the history of the world when he was needed. So for Daniel, death or life, his heart was totally set on seeking God. And there was just no way he was going to defile himself with that kind of heathenism. You can read that whole account in Daniel chapter 1. So Daniel, knowing very well that that dictum had already been signed, he still went into his house, he opened the windows, and he began to pray in his chamber as usual. His own adversaries had one credit to their own account. They knew that if Daniel was forced to choose between anything in this world and his God, he was going to choose God without any hesitation. So these devisers of evil, knowing that, they gathered and then they found Daniel praying with his usual and unwavering faithfulness. And of course, they reported. They ran so happily, so joyfully. You can imagine what was going on in their hearts. Their scheme was finally unfolding and they were going to have their victim right in their own hands. So they reported their unveiled treason against this foreigner who had been captured from Judah. But you know, God who protects his children in those dangerous times, God who stands for those children even during the conniving, during that secrecy of men's hearts, as they stab and they whip and they kick you without realizing when you think they are standing for you, God stood for his men. God opened the eyes of the king and he saw the scheme that those people had set against his very trusted servant. Despite the fact that he had already signed those adjudications, despite the fact that he had already sealed that dictum under the laws of the Persian government, despite the fact that it was irrevocable, his heart melted for God's child. But you know what has already been signed and sealed by the king's signet ring is irrevocable. So Daniel had to face the consequences of the conniving of his fellow workers. Daniel was cast into the den of lions. The mouth to the den was very well secured with a big stone. And then to ensure that Daniel would not get out and to ensure that nothing was going to change, they also sealed it with the king's own signet ring. The king was very displeased. He knew that it was treachery. And so that entire night when Daniel was thrown into the den of lions, the king could not sleep. The Bible records that he rose up very early in the morning and then he hastened to the den of the lions. The Bible says that he cried out and said, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Yes, Daniel was alive. And God, who also stands for his children, stood for his men. He used that very heathen king to fight for his child. So at the king's command, those who had accused Daniel were now cast into the same den of lions together with their families. And as they were thrown into that den, the lions overpowered them. The Bible records that they broke their bones to pieces before they could even get to the bottom of the den. And here comes my question to you who is listening again. How could hungry lions spare Daniel, who had stayed with them all night long, but devour his accusers while they were still in the air? How? Why? What made the difference? Yes, it was the presence of God. You're listening today, and you may be faced with very difficult situations. There's conniving right there in your eyes. Those you thought were on your side are the same ones who are working against you behind the scenes. There are 4 points that I would like to leave with you today. Don't compromise your stand for the world. One, I want to tell you, don't compromise your stand for God. Don't compromise because of the world. God is your ultimate protection against those who are seeking your danger. I want to tell you, number two, that God's presence is your safest, your greatest guard in danger. God's presence is your greatest and your safest guard in danger. While Abraham Lincoln was president again, way back in 1863, this is what he had to say as he faced some difficult times as a president. He said, "Amidst the greatest difficulties of my administration, when I could not see any other resort, I would place my whole reliance in God, knowing that all would go well and that He would decide for the right." You're listening and you're like, what should I do? How will I come out? Will I even get out of this mess or out of this trouble? Yes. You will come out safe because God who stood for Daniel, God who stood for Meshach, God who stood for Ananias is the same God who is going to stand for you today. And number three, I want to encourage and leave you with this. God will stand with you in your time of trouble and in your time of danger. Honor Him. God will stand with you in your time of trouble. God will stand with you in your time of danger. Honor Him. The Bible reminds us that those who honor me, I will honor. You will not stand to honor God and God dishonors you. So regardless of where you are, regardless of what surrounds you today, honor God. Choose to honor God. Choose to let God fight for you. God is going to fight for you. You have no strength to fight those who will connive against you. You will not even know when they are doing it. But God who has called you is faithful. He will not leave you to their terror. In fact, He's going to set a table before you, right before your very enemies, to show you, yes, I stand for my children. I fight for my children. He is going to foil their plans. He's going to bring them to nothing. He's going to nullify them, and He will lift you up instead. You will stand upon the rock of God and say, He stood for me. He fought for me. Because God's presence is your greatest protection. It is your ultimate protection in life. And number four, I would like to leave you with this. You are better off in the fire or in the den of lions with God than in the camps of your enemy without God. You are better off in the fire or in the den of lions with God than in the camps of your enemy without God. It is easy to compromise thinking, I will please my enemy. trust me, you're not going to please them. They will only find better ways to hit back at you. You'll only be giving them a better path to getting to you. So stay with God. You are better off in the fire or in the den of lions with God than in the camps of your enemy without God. I would like us to read a scripture together as we come to the end and as we draw conclusion for this lesson. Turn with me to Psalm 91 and let us read together from verse 1 to verse 4. Psalm 91 from verse 1 to verse 4. The Bible says, and as we read this, I pray that you let God's grace hold to you. You let God's hands and come round about you, draw you to himself and minister to your situation right here. Let us read together. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Listen to what God is promising to do for you. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Yes, he will stand for you. Remain under his umbrella of protection, because God's presence is your ultimate protection. God's presence is your ultimate protection in life. Let us pray together. Father, thank you that you stand for your children. Thank you for standing with us again today and reassuring us that you are our protection. You're not going to leave us to the snares of the enemy. You are not going to leave us desolate. So Lord, I pray for everybody listening today. May you stand with them. Fight for them. Lord, whether they be dens of lions, whether they be fires, fiery furnaces that are flaring right before them, I pray that you'll stand with your children. Honor thy word. Show yourself strong and mighty on behalf of your children today. Father, thank you because we can trust you. Thank you because we can be sheltered from the storms. We can be sheltered from the traps of the enemy, and we can hide in the perfect protection of your arms. We love you. We exalt you. May your Holy Spirit minister to us as we continue today. For we have prayed this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AMILIAHKENYA.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her following books: Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.